Hello, this is Allison Carter with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 42, and today we'll be talking about typical development for kids ages 12 to 24 months, or between the ages of 1 to 2 years. In early intervention, we usually talk about ages in terms of months, so that is why I do that in my show also. But I try to convert the months into years when possible so that those of you who don't think of it that way won't have to try and calculate the months to figure out what age I'm talking about all the time. I have some exciting news for those people who live in Kansas City. I will be presenting information on developmental milestones and sensory processing in Overland Park on October 21st. Seating is limited, so you will want to sign up quickly. You can register on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com and click on the Speaking Presentations tab. The format will be that I will present the information to the group, but it will also be an open discussion. I want this to be informative for parents who have young kids, and I want to try and answer any questions that I can during that time. So get on and sign up. I'm only charging $20 per person for this time. The other thing I wanted to mention is the community resource directory. I've had some emails showing interest in signing up, but I'm not getting a large response from people on it. So I decided to lower the price to only $30 for a year now. I know this is a new concept, and I only have two businesses on it so far. So I'm hoping that changing the price will help motivate some people to give it a try. I don't know how long I will keep it at $30. It may end up being just a promotional deal, but I'll just have to wait and see what kind of response I get from people. If you have any thoughts on this, please send me an email. I would love to hear your feedback on this idea. I will also mention your business on the show if you sign up. I will do that for at least the first 10 people to get on. So check it out, or send me an email if you have any comments or questions about the directory itself. Now moving on for today, the topic includes toddlers from the ages of 1 to 2 years, and during that time of development, two very important occupations start to appear: self-feeding and play skills. Since occupational therapists are interested in people's occupations, I will focus on those things quite a bit today. I don't think of occupations as just what people do for work or employment. Occupations can mean so many things in the OT world. They can mean many activities that we do on a regular basis, or that we like to do for fun whenever it works out. Occupations also include our relationships with other people, and basically functioning as independently as possible in this world of ours. I know that is a very broad description, but that's how I'm going to leave it for today. I found a research article from the American Journal of Occupational Therapy that was published in the year 2000. That year seems like it was so long ago when I think about it. Anyway, the article is called Toddlers' Persistence in the Emerging Occupations of Functional Play and Self-Feeding. Kind of perfect for today's topic, I would say. The study included 33 children who were typically developing, 18 boys and 15 girls between the ages of 12 to 19 months. Parents in this particular community volunteered to sign up for the study, and their child was accepted as long as they met the criteria. Besides the age range of 12 to 19 months, they had to have no known developmental delay, at least one English-speaking parent, and the child had to have some experience using utensils for eating. They were not proficient at using them, meaning they knew how to use them but spilled the food a lot or missed getting the food to their mouth with the spoon or fork. The researchers asked the following questions for this study. Is there a correlation between persistence and object manipulation? That's like fine motor skills, fine motor control, during functional play and in self-feeding with a utensil among toddlers? And what is the association between the fine motor skills and the persistence in functional play and self-feeding with the utensil? So how long will they keep at an activity in each of those occupations? And what is the association between the social context and toddlers' persistence with challenging occupations? The researchers collected data in three ways. One was by administering the fine motor portion of the Peabody developmental motor scales. The second was by making a videotape of the child during functional playtime. And the third was another video made of the self-feeding session. To score the videos, the researchers timed them using a stopwatch. They timed the total amount of time that each child was on task during moderate challenges in playtime. And during the feeding videos, they watched for when each child needed prompting to continue using their utensil. And they timed how long they were off task or how long they were not using their utensil during the self-feeding session. The researchers found that there was a correlation between the observed percentage of on-task time in each of the occupations for play and self-feeding. This suggests that there is some underlying thing that affects their persistence with these activities. There's something that keeps them going. There was no correlation between their fine motor skill level and how long they tried to use the utensils to feed themselves. What they think it might come down to is how much meaning each of these activities has to the children. The researchers are assuming that the toddlers would not continue to try using the utensils or completing the fine motor tasks if those activities have no special meaning for them. If the children really don't care about those activities, they won't continue to try them for very long, especially if they find the activities challenging at all. I'm not sure there's a lot of actual information to get from this study other than what I found interesting was that the kids who had good fine motor skills didn't necessarily try longer at feeding themselves with utensils. So keeping that in mind when working with toddlers on feeding skills, that just because they have good or appropriate fine motor skills for their age doesn't mean they will be motivated to keep trying to learn how to use a spoon for eating. This is not a new concept, though. I think the same can be said for not only toddlers, but people of any age. If we find a task or activity to be challenging enough that we have to work at it, the amount of time we actually spend on it is determined by how much we actually care about doing that activity. So in this case, and in other situations with toddlers, we have to figure out how to make the activities motivating for them. This can take some creativity in figuring out what will make the activities interesting enough that they will want to continue trying and push through until they have learned how to do it, whether it's using a spoon or completing a puzzle or anything else. The activity in itself may not be motivating enough, but how we make that activity more interesting or motivating for them can make all the difference. Okay, moving on to the topic for today, which is typical development from 12 to 24 months. I'm going to split it up because a lot of things happen in one whole year of child development. So I will talk first about 12 to 18 months or 1 year to 1.5 years old, and then the 18 to 24 month time or 1.5 to 2 years after that, for each area of development. Before I get into these things, I want to make sure everyone understands that from an early childhood standpoint, we look at what kids should be doing at each age range, but we know that if a child is not doing one specific thing when they are supposed to, that doesn't necessarily mean they are delayed or there is cause for concern. Generally speaking, we expect them to be doing certain activities or have certain skills by these ages, but there is leeway in both directions. Some kids do things a little later than expected, but they do them within a reasonable amount of time. So don't worry if you know of a child who is not doing all of the things I say today by the exact age ranges that I say they should be doing them in. Just know that if they start to be more and more things missing and they don't seem to be catching up or showing any signs of doing those things, then you may want to look into it further. Also, one more point, that developmental skills at this age go in order. Certain skills come before others, and for a reason. You've probably heard the term building blocks. Well, that is a fitting term for what I'm talking about here. We start with one skill and build on that skill for the next one, and so on. For the most part, we have to learn one skill before moving on to learn the next one in line. So even if they learn something a little later than we would expect, but they end up doing it, then learning the next skill in line, again, I'm not too worried about that in general. So with that being said, I'm going to give you the skills that should be developing within these age ranges. Just keep in mind that I know these things sometimes take a little longer. There's always exceptions. The reason I'm giving this out is for a general guideline for parents to go by. Each child may vary slightly, but you can use this information to give you an idea of what types of things to look for with your child. I will start with the gross motor activities for 12 to 18 months. Early on in this area, closer to 12 to 13 months, the toddler should be able to walk holding on to the furniture, so cruising along the furniture, and walk forward when you hold one hand, and they're also standing for a few seconds without holding on. By the end of the 18 months, I would expect them to be able to walk independently and also walk while pulling a toy behind them. They should also be able to bend over and look through their legs and throw a ball forward. Before they learn to walk, you should see them being able to stand up from the middle of the room without having to pull up on the furniture or the wall or anything else. This is one clear sign to me that they're basically ready to start walking once they can stand up all on their own. When they first learn how to walk by themselves, it is most common to see their legs out wide, even possibly wider than their shoulders, and they will have their hands up in the air to help with balance. All of these things help them have a wider base of support to keep their balance. Of course, they will still fall frequently. Between 18 and 24 months, they start to throw an object within a few feet of a target, walk up and down stairs holding onto the railing, and they will probably still place both feet on the step before moving up to the next one. They will also start to walk up and down stairs while holding your hand. At this age, toddlers should be able to carry a large toy while walking, squat down and play in a squatting position, push a ride-on toy without pedals, and walk backwards. They will also probably be able to kick a ball forward, and they're starting to run. Now, fine motor skills for the 12 to 18-month-old. They're starting to scribble or make more spontaneous marks on the paper, and they're able to build a tower using 2 to 3 blocks. And I'm talking about the kind of blocks that you have to balance, not the mega blocks or large Legos that hook together, although those are great toys for them to play with at this age. I'm talking about the 1-inch-sized wooden blocks that usually have the alphabet and some pictures on them. These are great for practicing fine motor skills, hand-eye coordination, and practicing stacking things up without letting them fall. They should be able to also put toys into a container without taking any out right away, and they can continue to play by putting more and more toys in before dumping them back out again and repeating the game. You should also see them pointing with their index finger or their pointer finger while the rest of the fingers and thumb are closed. We call that an isolated index finger. This is an early skill that will help later on with handwriting and advanced fine motor skills, or self-help skills like managing buttons and zippers. For the 18 to 24 month age, they will be able to do more purposeful drawing. They should be able to imitate drawing a vertical line after you draw it first. While learning this, I try to keep it the same every time where they draw from the top to the bottom of the paper, and I will give them the word down at the same time when I'm drawing it for them to watch. Then I also use the word down when they are trying to draw the vertical line. This will give them not only the visual cue but a verbal cue at the same time, and it can really help kids learn both the gesture and the language if you give them both at the same time. This will also come in handy in the 2 to 3-year-old range when we start to imitate drawing horizontal lines. I will get into that more when I do my show on the typical development for 2 to 3-year-olds, but I wanted to mention it here so I don't leave you hanging until whenever that show happens. We encourage the down, then across language and direction for those beginning drawing imitation skills because it sets the stage for reading and advanced writing later on. We read and write in the direction of top of the page to the bottom of the page and left to right on the paper. So I like to get this pattern started as early as possible to get their little brains thinking in this way also. This is the age where they are also able to pick up small items like Cheerios or raisins, for example, using their pincer grasp, which is their index finger and their thumb tips, and they can place that small object into a small container. When I'm testing for this, I will usually use a small travel shampoo container. It is the perfect size for one of their little hands to hold it, so they can use their other hand to pick up the small object. A great activity not only for this skill of placing a small object into a defined area, but also because one hand is doing one thing, holding the bottle, while the other hand is doing something completely different, picking up the Cheerio and trying to get it into the bottle. This is again one of those early skills that later on leads to more advanced fine motor coordination, like learning how to tie their shoes or holding a fork in their piece of food and using a knife to cut the food into smaller bites. Of course, this one comes quite a bit later, but still you get the idea. By the end of the 24 months, the toddler is able to stack around 5 or 6 blocks in a tower now, make some circular scribble marks, and place one bead on a string. Now, the next area of development that I want to talk about is language. There are a lot of things going on with language at this stage of the game. Between 12 and 18 months, they are starting to use phrases like uh-oh and no-no, and they can say no and mean it and understand it. They can also say dada and mama specifically for each person, and they generally use around 10 to 15 words on their own or spontaneously. This means that they just come up to you and say the word without you saying it first. They will try to sing songs, and they can say hi if you tell them to do so when greeting someone. During this time, remember that they are learning to walk or trying to get better at walking independently. So sometimes when they are going through that, you will see their speech skills level off. They don't necessarily regress or go backwards, but they don't necessarily go forward and continue to progress either. They just keep the same level as before until they have become more proficient at walking independently. Something in our brains just makes this happen sometimes. You may not notice it, or your child may not do that very much or very long, if at all, but just be aware that it does happen, and you should not be worried if it does happen during this time. Going along with this, some kids will not be able to walk and talk at the exact same time. They will have to stop walking for a moment before they can start jabbering or talking again, and then continue walking on. During the 18 to 24 month time frame, toddlers are able to name one or two familiar objects. They're starting to name a few pictures, so if you're looking at a book, they might be able to tell you some of the names of animals or familiar toys or cars or something. They're starting to use two-word phrases, both in imitation and spontaneously at times. They should have approximately 20 words that they can use on their own. The toddler at this age will understand using gestures to show you what they need and are starting to make sounds by using their voice while pointing at things they want. This is the time where they start to make what we call environmental sounds, like car sounds or train sounds, for example. The next area of development I want to discuss is the area of cognition. This is more of the problem-solving type of things and just general learning skills. This age is where these kiddos start to become little sponges. Their brains are just soaking up all the new information they can get, and they're starting to put it together and remember more and more things. During the 12 to 18 month time, they're starting to be able to place rings on ring stackers, turn pages in board books, imitate an invisible gesture. These are things like trying to imitate winking one eye or blinking both eyes or sticking your tongue out. They're considered invisible gestures because they're gestures using their face usually, where they aren't able to see their face at the time. They're watching you and they're imitating what you're doing. You're not using a mirror for this, and even if you were, it could still be good practice for their body awareness and imitation skills. If you ask the child to get you something familiar from another room, they can do this. You might ask them to get their cup from the kitchen or their toy from their room or something like that, and they can go get the object and bring it back to you. During the 18 to 24 month time, they're showing more of an understanding of matching colors and matching objects like wooden puzzle pieces with the pictures that match on the puzzle boards. They're starting to point to 3 of their body parts when you ask them to. They're able to point to 4 animal pictures when you ask them, and they're starting to make some of the animal sounds when you ask what does a cat say or what does a dog say. They're starting to match circles and squares and puzzles or shape sorters, and they're putting together 3 to 4 of the different size nesting cubs, those little cubs that fit inside each other. They're figuring out how to get them to go together the correct way. In the area of social emotional development, in the 12 to 18 month range, we are seeing more cooperative play, like rolling a ball back and forth with you. They generally like to be in the center of attention and will give their parent hugs and kisses. As I said, back in the language area, they're starting to say no, and we see that in this area of development also. They're starting to show more independence and basically test the limits of what you will let them get away with. You may see the beginnings of temper tantrums here. Toddlers at this age tend to have favorite toys that they really like to play with, and they can be messy, which I will definitely get into more in the next section. In the 18 to 24 month age, they are really able to express affection with their parents, and they're showing more of the other types of emotions also, like when they're happy or scared or angry. Some kids during this time will really start to feel proud of their accomplishments. Even if it seems like something silly or small to you, it can be a big deal to them, and they will often want you to acknowledge that it is a big deal too. It could be that they just balanced a bowl on top of a cup, or they took all of the clothes off of a doll, or they put all of their books into a box, or anything else they worked on and managed to get it done by themselves. Many times you will see them imitating housework at this age also. They might pretend to use the vacuum or sweep the floor with a broom. They could pretend to wash their toy dishes in their play kitchen, and things like that. The final area of development that I'm going to talk about today is self-help or adaptive skills. This is one of my favorite areas of development because it tends to hit at the core of what OTs generally are known to focus on. Although we work on all the areas of development that I mentioned today, this area is what we tend to base our idea of being an independent person on. Even as adults, and probably more so when we become adults, this is what often determines how much, if any, assistance we will need in our lives to live on our own and to be as independent as possible. That may seem a little dramatic, but it is the reality of life. We want our kids to grow up and be able to support themselves or live on their own and help themselves overall to the best of their ability. The self-help skills are an important early stage for getting all of those basic skills set. So for the 12 to 18 month ages, they're doing a lot more self-feeding. Many kids will prefer to feed themselves now, or at least to try, rather than having you feed them. Many times kids will grab for the spoon and want to take it from you and do it themselves. This is a time where parents often think to themselves, they can try to do it, but they probably won't get too much to actually go in their mouth. And that is often the case, but that is also the time to capitalize on this skill. They're motivated to learn how to do it themselves, and by allowing them to try, we'll give them a chance to practice and get better at doing it. It can be, and usually is, a messy process, which has its good points and not so good points. From the developmental side of things, I love the messy part. They learn a lot by experiencing the food both on their hands, face, and in their mouth. There was an episode not too long ago where I talked about the 6 to 12 month old development, and I was sure to point out that they need to be allowed to get the food on their hands and face, and in their mouth eventually, but this is how they experience the food textures and smells and how it looks. That will give them an idea of what it's going to be like once it gets to their mouth for eating. This experience continues in the 12 to 18 month frame, but it also expands because now they are using those experiences from the past and present messy times to predict what this larger variety of foods that you are offering them now will also be like to eat. The kids who are allowed to go through this messy phase naturally will more often than not be what we consider good eaters, meaning they will be more willing to give a new food or an unfamiliar food a try at least once, and they will often eat a larger variety of food choices in general. They will tend to be less picky eaters. Now, there are exceptions to this, like with anything else, because sometimes kids have sensory processing issues that can interfere with their ability to eat and experience foods. These kids will often become very upset when their hands get messy, even the slightest bit. I have talked about this before early in at least one of my earlier shows, and I may end up revisiting this again soon as a refresher, so I won't go too much farther into that piece of it today. But I will say that if a child has been through the messy time and is able to finger feed themselves well, they will be ready to move on to trying to use a spoon to feed themselves next. During this age, they get the idea of what to do with the spoon, and they can often get some food into their mouth with it, but spill a lot along the way from the bowl to their mouth. They should be pretty good at chewing their food by now and moving it from the middle of their tongue to the sides of their mouth to chew using the teeth on the sides of their mouth. This involves tongue lateralization, which is where the tongue is able to move side to side. The toddler at this age should be able to hold an open cup and take drinks by themselves, with some spilling also. They are starting to show a pattern with their bowel and bladder, so you can start to predict what time of day they will have a wet or soiled diaper. It may not always be consistent, but you can start to figure out when they usually go. Maybe it's 30 minutes after having lunch they will have a wet diaper. Or when they wake up in the morning and you change their diaper, then 5 minutes later they have a wet or soiled diaper again. Things like that that start to become predictable. During the 18 to 24 month age, they are feeding themselves with a spoon better than before, but still spill the food at times. They're starting to do more with their clothing too, like taking off their socks and shoes, and they might try to put their shoes on, but they still need help. They can take a hat off their head and put it back on. When you show them the zipper on their jacket, they might start to either pull it up or down, or both, after you start it for them. They can start to sit on the potty, and they may actually go in the potty at times. They might start to use potty words with you, and even start to use the words right before they go in their diaper. You can start working on them, having them learn how to wash their hands in the sink and help you dry them, although you will likely have to still help them dry them all the way. By the end of this time, the toddler should now be able to give up their bottles and only use cups to drink from, if they haven't already. A lot of the self-help skills at this age require some type of body awareness, and not only where their body is in the world or space, but what is going on inside their body. This is something we don't always think about, but in order to start potty training and learn what they need to do to go sit on the potty so they don't have an accident, they need to be able to feel the sensation inside their body and recognize what it is. This is a key element for potty training and is very helpful once they get that understanding. You can help them by using the potty time language when changing their diapers even before they reach this age. Make those words familiar so they can put it together when they have a wet diaper that it's called pee, and when they have a soiled diaper, it's called poo. Sorry for the potty language, but that's what they need to hear, so when it comes time to learn to sit on the toilet, they will have some type of an understanding of what is going to potentially happen there. Even if you are talking about it after they have a wet or poopy diaper, they will get to the point where they can start to remember what it felt like just a few minutes ago before the diaper turned yucky. And this will help them start to also predict when it is going to happen again. Maybe not the next time exactly, but once they put it all together, finally. Okay, I'm going to end there for today. Don't forget to check the show notes and my website for links to several of the toys and items that I talked about today. And one final thing, please get on iTunes and rate my show. That's all I have to say. Thank you again for listening.